You're listening to Fucks Given, the one where we interview Hannah Witten.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
So we have Hannah Witten here. She is a gorgeous YouTuber that talks about sex, relationships, and everything lifestyle, really. Thank you for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself, my girl.
Yeah, so I'm a YouTuber. I do a lot of sex ed online. I also have a book called Doing It that came out last year. That's like sex and relationships education advice book for young adults.
Amazing.
That does sound good. I mean, I'm super dyslexic, so I have to admit I have not read the book.
There is an audio version that I read.
Oh my, you read it as well? Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to download that. That sounds perfect. I can listen to you. It'd be like you're lying in bed next to me.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it. I also haven't like reread it since it's been published because it's that like, I don't know, like rewatching like old videos kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard and cringy. We find it really hard as well. Especially watching the first, I mean, have you ever watched the first YouTube video of yourself?
Yes, it's on private. God. It's horrendous.
It's on private?
Yeah, it's so bad. It's
you
so
hid
bad.
That from the public?
Of course I did.
They have to see all of you.
No.
Surely.
No. They can see the me that I tell them to see.
That I am me now, the woman I've grown into. Oh, bless you.
I mean, yeah, our first YouTube videos are also very embarrassing.
Yeah, we're just so awkward and we just kind of like waffle and mumble and nothing's edited and we're just like, yeah, sex.
How long have you been doing videos?
For about almost 4 years.
Okay.
Coming up to.
Yeah. What about you? Yeah, when did you start your YouTube channel?
7 years ago. Seven and a half years ago, yeah.
Were you always talking about sex or is that something that you introduced a bit later on?
I started making videos because I watched a lot of vloggers and I loved them. Uh-huh. And I loved the friendships and the community. And so I was like, I want to be a part of something like that. I want a community. I want to make friends. And so I was like, oh, you have to make videos in order to do that. So I definitely like went in with the mind of like, I want to be part of this thing.
Because it was so new back then as well.
It really was. And no one really knew where it was going to go either.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And you did that with cooking.
I just knew that I didn't want to make videos about myself. And like having an activity that I was doing helped kind of like shift the attention elsewhere.
Yeah. How did you decide to start talking about sex on your channel?
I noticed that like I had a very small audience, but I basically noticed that they were young women.
Yeah.
And sex ed was something that I was already like quite passionate about and like knew was a pile of wank in school, but didn't really know what to do about it. Like I started YouTube when I was 19 and then I was like 19 or 20 when I started doing like the sex ed content. I watched a lot of Lacey Green as well. So she was like a huge inspiration.
She's like one of the original sex YouTubers.
Yeah. But when I was like 17, so before even like starting YouTube, I remember getting into an argument with my RE teacher because she wouldn't teach us about contraception because it was like against the Catholic rules of the college. Yeah.
Oh, so you were like the rebellious one in the class.
I don't know. I just remember saying to her like, are you not teaching us about like contraception and abortion and things? She was like, oh, I can't. I don't think it was her fault as well. Like she was just like, I can't.
That's a curriculum. They literally say you're not allowed to.
And I just remember being like, what? We're all having sex. which now I know that not all 17-year-olds are having sex, but I just thought that would be a dramatic thing to say.
But it's definitely the time when people start thinking about it. 100%. There were kids at my school having sex at 12, 13.
Yeah.
People need to be taught sex ed way, way younger these days.
Fuck number one.
The first fuck.
my first time having sex was I was 16, and it was with my boyfriend at the time, and we talked about it a lot beforehand.
That's always good.
I was a massive nerd, and we were doing our GCSEs, and we were both like ready, and we both said that we wanted to, but I was just like, we have to wait until after exams.
Stress of sex, I can't handle.
Exactly, because I was like so focused on these exams and getting my GCSEs, and I was like, I can't have anything distracting me, because I think everything you're fed about sex is that like it's potentially, not always, but potentially quite a transformative experience,
life changing.
Yeah, and also like even if it doesn't like change your life, it's just like this extra element of things that you have to navigate in your relationship, and an extra thing for you to be stressed about.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm good, let's wait. We almost had sex after prom, and I remember we were like so close to having sex, and I was just like, I can't, it's too cliche.
I cannot, I do not want my first time, right?
I cannot lose my virginity on prom night. I will not let it happen.
Like all the American movies just come flooding into your mind.
Yeah,
I was like, I won't do it. Also in like someone else's bed, like, no.
Yeah, that's very respectful for you, and really smart trying to wait for your GCSEs. I don't think many people think about that.
Yeah, because it's not. Like a box of Pringles, isn't it? Like,
once you pop, but you no self-restraint with Pringles. So what happened was, we lived like really close to each other because we were all like lived in the same area, and it was after exams, but yes. we didn't want to just be like, okay, it's after exams now. Now we have to have sex. So the next time we see each other, it's going to happen. It was just more of a like, okay, we've done exams now. Now we know that like it's on the card. So next time we're in a situation where we're like making out and stuff, we're like,
So it wasn't like pressured or anything.
Yeah, no.
Now we finished, we need to do it.
Yeah, and there was like, I can't even remember. There might have been a night where we like one of us stayed over at the other person's house and like it didn't happen and that was fine. Yeah. But I remember I had like a friend date one day. Me and my mate were just like going to go, I can't even remember what we were doing. We were just going to go hang out one day. This is 10 years ago. I'm like, what
did you do back then before phones and TVs and shit?
Yeah. And so I went over to my boyfriend's house in the morning before going to meet my friend, just to be like, hey, how's it going? Morning. Da, da, da. What are you up to today? And then we were just like hanging out, and we had sex in the morning.
I was just so casual.
It was just like,
that's way just, too casual. I've been like waiting for this moment for you to tell me, and then you're just like, and then we had sex.
And then we just had sex.
But how? And how did you feel? And was it okay? Did it hurt? Was it fun?
A bit uncomfortable, but fine. I think I was on top.
Yeah.
Because I could like control.
That's odd, because that's what Reed said. She was on top for her first time. And I was like, that is a very bold move.
I feel like I would feel really claustrophobic and like not in control if they were on top.
Yeah, you are more in control. But I didn't start off like that. I got on top because I was like, let me try this position.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you were on top and you kind of...
I like barely remember details. I'm like, I think I was on top for all of it. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe I was underneath at the beginning and then I got on top. The one thing I do remember, though, was that I was wearing Primark girl boxers that were white and red stripes. I remember the underwear I was wearing.
Oh my God, girl boxers.
I remember that phase.
Oh my Lord. Wow. Yeah, I think I was wearing a pair around that time, too. Mm-hmm. I thought that was so cool.
It was super cool. And I remember he was getting his room redecorated, so his mattress was on the floor, and there were like buckets of paint all around the room.
So romantic.
Yeah. Fuck two.
The best fuck.
One standout one was like in the back of a van.
Ooh,
sounds kind of like, raunchy.
I really fancied this guy. It was like a tour guide travel experience, and he was our tour guide.
Oh, nice.
And okay, I wanted to get with him like for the whole trip, and then like halfway through
as well.
And it was pretty intense.
Was it sexy for the rest of the tour?
Yeah.
Oh,
nice. Well, actually, like it was kind of like on and off sexy for the rest of the tour because he was like, now I'm in professional mode. But then the moment we got to the final stop and we were like, it was over, he was just like, right, no, we're good. Like,
yeah, screw this.
Work hat is off. And I was like, yay. So I didn't have an orgasm until I was 20.
Cool.
And that was by myself. And then it wasn't until I was 22 when I had my first orgasm with someone else.
I think that's quite normal for girls. Right?
I don't think that there's anything like wrong with that at all. But I definitely like before that thought. I just was like, well, I guess I'm just one of those women that can't orgasm.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think I'd
the towel.
I think I'd just like accepted it, but also not really accepted it because I kept trying. Yeah. And I was like, come on,
every single toy.
And so like sometimes I do get in my head a bit. With like not being able to come.
We all do.
I remember being in this situation with someone who was going down on me, and I was like, I think I was just like thinking too hard about wanting to come and like and all of that, and then he could totally sense it, and he just stops, looks at me, and just goes, "You're gonna come when I want you to come." And I was like, "Oh my god!
Oh my god!"
Because I think it's one of the sexiest things that's ever happened to me.
That is so sexy.
Yeah. And then he just carried on, and I was like, "What? I'm relaxing now.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
That was it.
Ready." I'm exactly the same with oral, though. I find it really hard to come with oral, but I think that is because you're in your head and you're just constantly thinking like, "I have to come. They're down there trying to make me come, and if I don't come, then they're going to think they're terrible." And your mind just goes ballistic.
There is a lot of pressure there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's annoying. There shouldn't be pressure, but we create it ourselves. I mean, do you have any advice to, apart from being told to come, for anyone that struggles to orgasm?
So have you read Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski?
No.
It's a brilliant book. Like, read the whole book if you want to, but right at the end of it, there's this like appendix, which is like a step-by-step guide to like having an orgasm if you have trouble doing it or if you've never done it. And it is so detailed, and it's brilliant because it basically like takes you through basically like, you know, like touch yourself, like do whatever you want to do, but after a while just stop, like don't worry about coming, just like, or I can't remember the specific advice, but it's like count to whatever number and then just stop, and then maybe the next day like do it again, and then like get up to or
like
I think
edging.
Yeah, it's basically like teaching yourself how to edge, but like using that will help you orgasm. Maybe it's not counting, maybe it's more like if 10 is an orgasm, it's like build yourself up in terms of your arousal, so build yourself like up to a 4 out of 10 and then putting yourself back down, and then the next day try and build yourself up to a 5 out of 10 and bring it down. And so like doing that, and like, but each session, it's not like from session one, you're like trying to orgasm. It's like, no, from session one, you're just trying to get aroused in the first place. And then like session two, it's like, and then a little bit more.
That's perfect advice. I think it was like the changing moment was when someone told me you didn't have to come.
Yeah,
you
but just
have
permission.
To have
an
orgasm. Like you don't, that's not your end goal. Just enjoy the pleasure. And then I was like, something clicked in my brain.
Yeah.
Fuck three.
The worst fuck. So from the best to the worst, do you have any worst sexual experiences that really stand out? I mean, it doesn't have to be like serious.
It could be okay. Like funny.
Yeah, just like
unfortunate.
Like a funny bad fuck.
Yeah.
Once again, should have thought about this before I got here. I know one.
It's always that thing. It's like, oh, that time.
Oh, can I say this? Am I going to upset someone?
Yeah, I know. Hopefully they don't listen because I'm still friends with this person. basically, like, just a casual hookup with a friend, and it wasn't even a case of us fancying each other. It was just like we've had sex before, you're here, I'm here, whatever. And it wasn't great. Clearly neither of us were like actually that into it.
Oh, that's so sad when that happens.
And it was just like, eh. And I was thinking all of this, but he said it.
Oh,
he,
no.
Out loud.
Really verbalized it.
Out loud, he was just like, I think we both needed that.
Oh, what needed it?
What does that even mean?
Just like, we just both needed a shag, and we were just there.
Oh my god!
I was like, bless. Brutal.
I mean, at least he was honest.
Yeah, it's fine. I think we're both thinking it, but I was like, wow, smooth. Yeah, you're saying that.
Yeah,
just gonna leave now. Slip out.
So that was.
Did you have like an awkward moment after that as well? I don't know what you would say to that either.
I can't remember what I said to it, but it's fine now. Like we never acknowledge it. in, but we are friends and still see each other as part of like our friend group and
stuff.
Well,
at least they made it to the worst wall, you know.
I know, bless him.
Having
no, he might
friends.
Agree though, because I don't think like you. I feel like it takes two people to have bad sex.
Oh yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I don't know, because I feel like you could have a terrible experience and somebody else that could have been their best experience. Like,
I don't know about that.
If that's Surely? The case, that sounds like really? A really bad, like a capital B bad situation.
Really sad. Yeah.
Like potentially illegal situation.
Oh no, 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 I don't mean like no. that. Like, say it was really exciting from so. My, I shouldn't really talk about my worst experience because it's about you, Hannah, I swear to God. But my,
wait,
one of my worst experiences, oh no, as in not about you, as in the podcast is about you, yeah. not no. about, we were just playing you in YouTube in the background of us having sex.
I was involved in some way, Eleanor.
No, tell us.
Share.
It was like a one night stand. I came home with a guy and he was really submissive and I ended up giving him a hand job and it was like really boring for me because I wanted some really nasty, filthy, submissive sex, but he was submissive. So I took the dominant role and loads of weird shit happened. Like, his flatmate came through and watched us. And I feel like that was
as you do.
A hilariously bad time for me. But I feel like he walked away from that moment being like, that was the hottest experience of my life. I had a fully clothed girl being completely dominant, wanking me off, making me come.
With his flatmate watching.
Yeah. Especially because I was like, you have to buy me a fucking taxi. I'm not buying one. And he bought me one.
Do you ever, like, if you're tossing someone off and your arm gets a bit... achy.
A bit achy.
Like, but do you ever, I don't
turn
have
into
to,
the Michelin
I don't know
man,
how to describe this on a podcast, but I'm going to like physically show you. But then you use your other hand to like prop up your arm.
Prop it up like sneakily and you're like, yeah, it's you're literally propping it up. Oh my God. When you try swapping hands, but then your other hand, like your left hand, is really shit.
Oh no, mate.
You know the pleasure's not there.
I'm ambidextrous when it comes to wanking. But not myself. Like a penis I can do with both hands.
But then I always feel like the thumb has to be in the perfect place, and it is with my right hand, but when I swap, it's not with my left hand.
Oh, that's true, actually. Well, unless you're, it depends what way you're facing.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. I love the little prop, though. It's like little helping hand. You like sneak it in there, and you're like, oh, I've got
really helps.
Some more.
Somebody's invent some sort of device that helps, like some sort of like robotic thing that can help you move your
hand.
Yeah, it'd
just be like a slingshot with like, a base.
Hand jobs for lazy girlfriends.
Yeah, or like the hand job pillow or something like that, where it's just bouncy. Oh, it could be like a waterbed.
So it just does it for you.
Yeah. Oh my, it's like a sex toy in the making. Just why don't we just buy a sex toy that wanks them off?
Fuck four.
The fuck that made me.
So if anyone out there already follows Hannah on her YouTube channel, you will know about all the surgery that she's been through recently. And I think this would be a really great time to talk about it, because one of our sections is the fuck that changed your life in some sort of way. And I feel like this is quite a life-changing event and things must have changed after that.
Yeah, so for context, I had my colon removed in January 2018. And I now have a stone bag, and then I had another emergency abdominal surgery in June. So I've had two emergency abdominal surgeries this year. And basically, when they cut through your abs, you have no strength.
Yeah.
Core strength. And it turns out you need that muscle to do a hell of a lot.
Especially fuck.
Well, orgasm. I couldn't orgasm.
Really?
I'd lost it. So I would get to the tippy toppy top, and then I just like couldn't do it, and it was so frustrating.
That's a nightmare.
Because once I was discharged from hospital, I was like too weak to have any penetrative sex.
Yeah,
but we could do like other stuff with our hands and things.
Yeah,
but then even doing that, I was just like, God damn it! Like,
it must be exhausting as well.
Yeah, and but I'm trying to think of like, I think to be honest, it was like learning to have sex again.
Yeah.
And it was like this, like huge momentous occasion. Like, we tried a couple of times and it was just like too much for me, too painful, and we had to stop. And there were only certain positions that I could do that didn't like hurt. It took like, it took a while until I had the strength to like be on top again.
I mean, did it hurt? Like, I'm trying to figure out the pain. Is it, was it an internal pain, or was it a stitch pain, or was it a like it's, an outside or an inside pain? Did it affect your vagina, specifically your vagina?
So it's like a, it's a muscle pain. Mm-hmm. So it's like a, it's like a, it's a muscle pain in my stomach area. So like, imagine you've just done like a really crazy ab workout, mm-hmm. and the uh-huh. next day you're like aching and it's horrendous.
Yeah,
it's like that, but every time you cough or you sneeze, you have to hold onto your stomach because you think your guts are gonna spill out.
Oh my god, no.
So even now, I'm like, you know, I'm the healthiest I've been all year and the fittest I've been all year. Yay. I still have to like hold it in when I sneeze because it does feel like it's like, it, like it's just really, because everything's been sliced open, like all of those muscles, all those nerves, everything has been like torn apart.
And orgasms are quite like sneezes. So.
Yeah, but you, and you need that physical, that muscle to tense. And then just because, so the scar that I have and like where they cut me goes from above my belly button to below my belly button, and it stops just before my my like my pube line.
Yeah.
And so even though like the area around my like vagina and everything like wasn't touched, it's still like the, it still all, like just all of me felt so fragile. Mm-hmm. So the idea of like anything like physical inside me, like because you know, like if a dick or a sex toy or whatever is inside you, sometimes it like, it feels like it's like coming right up to near your belly button.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Are you gonna throw it up out? Like?
Yeah. So for me, it was just like that. To me, was like, whoo, because then I could like kind of feel it in the area where I had the scar and everything.
Yeah.
But then in terms of like life-changing fuck, I can't, do you know what? I can't actually remember like or like pinpoint like the first time or like how long it was post-surgery, okay. like of when I felt, I finally felt like, oh, we, that was a good shag. Because I remember like for ages it was just like we'd have sex and it was all very gentle and like da-da-da-da. And but it just like, you know, it wasn't our best. I'm like, we can do better, but we just can't right now because of my situation.
It wasn't ball slapping, that's for sure.
No, yeah. Oh my god, no, I would just be like, no, ah, please stop.
Oh gosh.
But I think the fuck that changed my life in terms of like all of the fucks was that the fuck we were talking about before with myself, where I had my first orgasm with the porn. Does that count as a fuck? That
yes,
one.
It
yes,
does.
That does. A self fuck, definitely.
That's a self fuck.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty life changing.
Well, yeah, like, of course. Why was it life changing watching that porn and having an orgasm, the first orgasm?
I think because I just had never had an orgasm before. And I remember like asking my friends and stuff, and everyone would just always be like, You'll know when you know. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know when
so
you know.
So annoying.
And I'm like, but how do you know if you've had an orgasm? Like? It's like, you know when you know. You know.
I wouldn't say you bloody know.
And I resented that so much. And then it happened and I was like, oh, that was it. That was it. And then I was seeing someone at the time and I called him immediately afterwards. And I was like, I did it. I had an orgasm. And I don't, he didn't, really didn't care. And that really just like, oh, that's very loud. But he was just like, oh,
that
okay.
is life changing though.
Fuck number five. The last fuck.
So what about the last time you had sex?
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking about this like today or yesterday because I knew this question was coming up.
Yes.
And I was just like, oh, the last time I had sex was actually really good. And I was like very proud of myself. And then I was like, oh, Hannah, don't have sex between now and doing the podcast. Yeah. Just in case it's not as good as that one from before.
It's such a shame we have to like want to talk about the good last time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was shower sex.
Stop.
And it was the first shower sex in our new shower. So
ooh,
I feel
you
like,
christened it.
Yeah. I feel like that's pretty good.
Pop that little shower cherry. Wait, no, that sounds all kinds of wrong. Like, why is there a cherry in a shower?
Well, a lot of people pop a shower cherry, you know, like with the blasty waterhead in the bath.
Oh,
yes.
That was my first ever sex toy.
Literally.
Yeah. Talking about that today, like, why are you having an hour shower? Get out! I'm not done yet.
But there's a thing about shower sex that it's always a little bit more complicated than you see in
like,
the movies.
This is the thing, like, it ended up being good, but it was a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
Because also, I find that, ironically, Water dries me up.
Absolutely. Yes, it right? wipes away yes, all your same. All your like
yeah,
it's so hard
fluid.
To put anything up there.
So mm-hmm. we basically had to turn the shower off
Lube
in
up.
Order to yeah, to start. And yeah. then once we got going, turned the shower back on. So
That's
there was water
yeah.
on
yeah.
us. And then also he had to get in a very weird position because he's a lot taller than me. And I'm very short. And if I was on my tiptoes in a shower, that's actually quite
yeah.
dangerous.
Oh my
so
God,
was,
yeah.
So it was safer for him to like crouch than for me to go on tiptoes. So, and afterwards I was just
image.
Like, I was like, was that comfortable for you? He's like, not really. But he still said it was, he enjoyed it.
Shower sex is supposed to be so romantic.
I just don't think it will be a regular
so awkward.
Thing.
And yeah. like if you don't turn off the water, you're either, someone's face is in that water while you're fucking or you,
yeah.
you get cold because you have to turn it off.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah. Or your face is like pressed up against the glass, like, oh.
And you're terrified you're going to slip.
Yeah.
Like, terrified.
Really scary.
I mean, I'm already scared that I'm going to slip in the shower anyway and I'm naked and vulnerable, let alone when I've got a penis yeah. inside me.
Yeah. I feel like I always have to applaud good shower sex, though. So well done.
Yes.
Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you.
I
no.
feel like it's hard.
We made
it's a
do,
really good achievement.
Yeah. And it was a good time. So.
It was a good time.
It was a good time.
And did you reach orgasm? Do you mind me asking?
We both did. But
oh,
I did afterwards.
Excellent.
I finished after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, again, shower sex is hard. Should have got that shower head.
Yeah, no, should have. Yeah. Oh, my God. We actually, so we have like a big shower head that's like right, so it's not like hanging from the wall. It's like right
like
on the
ceiling.
Like
the rainforest shower
yeah,
head.
Yeah, we've got one of those.
Called.
And we have a separate shower thing. So I could, oh, next time. Thank you, Reed.
Oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
Or, you know, I mean, waterproof sex toys, that
idea.
Could also be involved. But
yeah.
like, who keeps sex toys in the bathroom?
I mean, you'd have to, like, get out of the bath and you'd be really, like, wet.
And slippy.
Scrape all the water all
I
over
hate
your
that
bedroom.
So
the
much.
House.
And then when you're yeah. dry and then you step back in the wet patch. Oh,
worst.
Angry.
Worst. When you're wearing socks.
Oh, no. I can't handle it. For fuck's sake. Sake is the part where our listeners actually ask us some advice and we ask our wonderful guests to help us out.
Oh, I will try my best.
So today, we actually had a few questions in which were exactly the same.
Great
so we'll
minds.
Go for this one. Advice for having the best possible first experience with sex. I'm 17, me and my boyfriend are both complete novices, but, you know, we're approaching that stage.
Oh, my God,
oh, I
it
love
sounds like
this.
You. Like it sounds like what happened with you, I swear. 17. Oh, no, you were 16. I was 17. Fuck. Bollocks.
But it's all like the same-ish age.
Yeah, same-ish age.
I think
yeah.
it's really cute that they're like thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just the fact that this person's asked the question, I'm like, odds are it'll be good.
Yeah.
Because you're already
yes.
thinking about it. You're already talking about it. It's like not making the assumptions of... oh, this is what you do, and also the assumptions of like the order in which you do things, like
yeah.
this then leads to this yeah. and this leads to this and this thing is the holy grail, but just like, I don't know, take it easy, just
yeah.
try a few things and don't like, you can just like back out anytime basically. Just
yeah,
like if you're like, oh
literally.
No, let's try this again next week, and we're like, okay, cool.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's really important to sort of say, is that the first time does not have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to, like, you don't have to go through the whole thing. You can just like try a little bit and then do the rest of it later on at a different
yeah.
day.
The first time it's so rare for it to be pleasurable, especially because there's nerves involved. It might be pleasurable for both of you, but I would just get past the beginning bit of like, you know, lose your V card and then start exploring each other's bodies so you can start to experience pleasure.
But you can also do like all of that exploring during the it
the
all.
First time
and during
yeah,
the first time
definitely.
And like and all of that. I
like
think,
a whole day when you just do loads of
yeah.
crazy fucking and sucking and rolling
yes.
around in bed, and it's just nice for you both
exploring each
like,
other's bodies.
Let's try this. I think one of the best pieces of advice that I was given was like try and like talk about what you want to do
yeah.
and what you don't want to do with the person that you're going to do or not do these things with when you're sober and fully clothed.
Yes, definitely.
So it's like
communicate.
Yeah, but being able to communicate when you're not in the headspace of like arousal and intoxication.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to be like, hey, I would be quite into trying X, Y, Z. How do you feel about that? Which, like, when I say it like that, sounds really unsexy. But but those conversations are, like, they're difficult to have because we have no examples of people having them.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, being super nervous to approach anything like that with my partner at the time when I lost my virginity.
You just kind of hope it happens and you don't have to talk about it, which is totally the wrong way to approach
That's the surefire way to have bad sex.
Yeah. You just close your eyes and hope it's over and done with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just approach things slowly and make sure you're both comfortable at all times. Mm-hmm. That would be my advice.
Great. And laugh. Lots of laughter.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be awkward. It can be a laugh and you can joke about things going wrong and condom slipping and cum getting in your eye. You know, that's
farting.
Okay. Yeah, farting and queefing and discharge, you know. Like, have a laugh with it. It's all normal bodily function.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So what is today's worst sex story?
So today we have a story that starts on the floor, wearing red satin heels and nothing else. Guy on top of me, my mum storms into the flat.
Oh, no! My God, no. No. Okay, wait. Was it into the flat or into the room? Or, I mean, I feel like I need more information and a visual picture here.
I think we got the visual picture of, like, the red satin heels.
I mean, amazing. Sounds super sexy.
Whoa. Oh, I'm really sorry about
that's
that.
That's awful. Have you ever had anyone walk in on you having sex?
No.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend's sister walk in on us.
Shit.
Oh, we were like fully naked and doing it on his bed, and she was like having a go at him as well. She was about to walk over and going like, and then just stopped dead in her tracks and turned around.
Did you carry on?
Yeah.
Good. How do you even deal with something like that? I mean, it's a shame that we can't just walk and be like, oh, sorry guys, but it really freaks a lot of people out. Yeah. Especially if it's your daughter. Yeah. I wouldn't know how that mother was feeling. Hopefully she was a cool mum and she was a bit like, okay, like,
you go,
oh my
kids.
God.
I'll be downstairs. I only want a cup of tea.
Yeah. My little baby, hope you're using protection. Aww. See you later.
Yeah, proud mum.
I'm so proud. Them red satin heels, good choice.
If you've got any, got any clothes that you want to borrow, well, you're welcome to my sex wardrobe. Imagine she's just like, look, I've got all these other options if you fancy.
Yeah,
that would maybe that's a bit inappropriate. Cool, I don't know.
Mom.
That would be really cool. Like, here's dressing gowns, cup of tea, and a dildo. Yeah. In case he hasn't finished you off, love.
It's clean.
Make sure of that. I want that, mum. Actually, I do feel like my mum would be kind of cool.
Yeah. I think that was game over for their sexy session.
Really? I mean, was it game over for yours?
Well, no, but then they also walked back out and we don't know what this mother did.
Mum just sat there and waited like, I'm staying here till you finish.
No, they would like just like walk straight back out.
Yeah,
it depends whether that would kill the mood for you. Would it kill the mood of someone?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think your heart would go.
If it was like a relative of mine, it would kill the mood for me. Mm-hmm. If it was a relative of theirs or a friend, probably not.
Yeah, but
you know, it's like that weird connection.
Two to tango, like he might be like,
yeah. True, yeah. just like, not anymore.
I mean, a couple of times my sister's knocked on my door during, and like, even though my sister's
like,
super
busy.
Cool with that.
Oh, actually, I've had, when I was at uni, in second year, my room was like the attic room. So the door to my room, you open the door and there are stairs.
Huh, yeah.
And so then you go up, and I remember my housemate opening the door and just, like, you know, like, Han, and I just be like, no. Obviously, like, she couldn't see anything because she's walking up the stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she like turned around and left.
Okay,
so it was just like, I was like, not now.
And did it turn ruin it for you? Did it kill?
No,
kill
just carried on.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if it's a friend, it's kind of a bit like quite funny. You're just like, I can't believe that just happened, but let's carry on.
Yeah,
let's finish where it started. We have massive sympathy to this poor sex story. thank you so much for handing that in. And if anyone else has any worse sex stories, please send them to us. You can write them on your social media, tweet them to us, Instagram, DM us, as well as add in the hashtag FutsGiven worst stories.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. It's been a real pleasure to have you on.
A literal pleasure.
Yes, literally.
And I need to hear that audiobook. That sounds so good. Especially the other book you mentioned as well, that whole self-taught how to have an orgasm thing. I need to check this shit out.
Doing It by me, Hannah Witten. Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski.
Amazing.
Would recommend.
So where can people find you?
Oh, yeah. I'm basically Hannah Witten everywhere. YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Those are the main places that I frequent.
Yeah, no one does Facebook. We can't do Facebook because of sex, right?
I do have a Facebook, but I don't really use it.
You have a Facebook, but
family's on there, man. We can't have our family seeing this shit. They'll be horrified and scarred for life.
Yeah.
My dad is scarred for life.
Already.
just from Facebook. The poor man.
They don't understand it.
He actually did say he downloaded Instagram recently, and the first thing that popped up was like a picture of my ass, and he messaged me on the family group, and he was like, I've removed Instagram. I can't believe it. I'm like, sorry, Dad, you made me this way. Thank you for making me so happy and body positive about my body. And he's like, I just don't want to see it as a father. Bless him. He doesn't sound like that. He's a cool dad.
Yeah,
I just
that's really funny. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Sorry for rambling about my ass.
No, thank you. That's what I'm here for.
And thank you to all our listeners for clocking in today.
Oh, yes, baby. I mean, you heard me say hashtag fucksgiven, but if you post about us and hashtag us, then this is the hashtag to do it.
And tell us all. Give us a review.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some 5 stars.
Yeah. Share us. Share us, babies.
Some 5 stars.
And share us with all your friends.
We'll see you soon, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's an episode we recommend.
Hi, I'm theme park journalist Carly Wiesel, and my job is to bring you the weirdest, wackiest theme park stories on my podcast, Very Amusing. Hear how Disney built a Star Wars-themed land from the people who built it, the wild way Butterbeer was first created, and this week, get a secret look at what happens inside Disneyland's members-only Club 33, and its extremely private-themed bar. Very Amusing is jam-packed with exclusive details about Star Wars, Marvel, and Jurassic World attractions, hilarious celebrity interviews, and, well, everything you've ever wanted to know about theme parks but haven't found anywhere else. Want to go on a wild ride that won't cost you hundreds in admission tickets? Listen to Very Amusing with Carly Wiesel on the Acast app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast recommends.